Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is Blog Talk Radio. This is Sunday, the special that we do once every Sunday to, for those individuals who may be serious about making some serious money in network marketing or any kind of home-based business, or just trying to do a little bit better with their life, with their energy and vision. So here we go, Sunday for next hour. So time to vote very, very, very soon. So some people say you can vote twice. You know, one gentleman in the White House says, cast your absentee ballot, if you will, and then go vote again. I don't think that's going to work. But anyway, it's very important that we do vote. There are a lot of people before us who paid the ultimate price to make sure that we had the ability to go vote and elect those individuals who represent our community and us and our family and even the world. So, as Barack Obama says, go vote.
They remind me in the words of Scripture that ours is a future filled with hope. And if you share that faith with me, if you share that hope with me, I ask you tonight for your vote. That this nation's promise is reserved for the few, your voice must be heard in this election. If you reject the notion that our government is forever beholden to the highest bidder, you need to stand up in this election. If you believe that new plants and factories can dot our landscape, that new energy can power our future, that new schools can provide ladders of opportunity to this nation of dreamers, if you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, then I need you to vote this November. America, I never said this journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now. Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place. Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together. We don't turn back. We leave no one behind. We pull each other up. We draw strength from our victories, and we learn from our mistakes, but we keep our eyes fixed on that distant horizon, knowing that providence is with us and that we are surely blessed to be citizens of the greatest nation on earth. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless these United States.
Yep. Shout out to the White House. Anyway, we will get underway. Listen, Andrea, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Are you going to vote for me? We're going to write, somebody going to write me in? Adrian, can you hear me?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. You going to write me in? You going to write?
Oh, great.
When you go to vote on the ballot, you're going to put my name on there? Adrian, let's
you
just take a minute.
You got my vote.
Oh, yeah, I got your vote right here. Listen, how is the week? How have you been doing?
Doing great. Talking to people about health and wellness as much as I can.
Okay. Let me just take a minute, and I just want to know what you are doing. What protocols, what formulas are you using to expand and develop the business? is that fair? Is that a good question?
That's a huge question.
Okay, I want you to think about it. I'm gonna come back to you. Look.
Okay.
You know, some people, there's a book out by Art Williams. Do you know who Art Williams is?
Yep, A.L. Williams.
Oh, God, love him, yes. And he says what? All you can do is all you can do, and all you can do is enough, right?
Exactly.
Okay. I have never done all I could do, all I can do in my lifetime on this planet. Have you in anything?
I ran a marathon one time, and I did all I could do to finish. That was one time where I maxed myself out, yeah.
The 26-mile, you did? 26-mile?
Yeah.
You did? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in New York,
And yeah, I've done a half a marathon. But let me ask you this. Because in the preparation for the half marathon, I used to practice 6 miles a day, 6 minutes a mile, 36 minutes. And I did that about easily 6 days a week. I might have taken off a day. Some days, some weeks, some months I didn't take off. I just kept running every day, every day. So when I got out to run the half marathon, it was very difficult for anybody to beat me because I was practicing at 6 minutes a mile. Was that a fair?
Wow, commitment? That was excellent.
Yeah, that's excellent. A fair commitment. Yeah. So that's what it takes if you're going to win. And if you're going to be in front, you have to put in the time. Have you heard the phrase the 10,000 hours?
To become an expert, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look at Mark Victor Hansen, Paul Zane Pilzer, Robert Kiyosaki, all of those people, they talk about the 10,000 hours. You have to put in 10,000 hours in order to become an expert in anything, whether you be a doctor, a surgeon. That's 16 years, and obviously that's 10,000 hours, right? Or when you look at LeBron James, Magic Johnson, they threw the basketball, and even Kobe Bryant said when he practiced every day, he would throw 1,000 basketballs a day, 500 before lunch and 500 after lunch, every day, 6 days, 7 days a week. So to make a commitment is important if you're going to get that gold medal, if you're going to the Olympics, or even the silver or the bronze. But it's certainly if you want the gold, you're going to have to put in the price. Can we agree?
Of course.
Okay. So what are you willing to do? And I'll ask you that question when I come back in a minute. What are you willing to do to go to the top of this marketing plan to become a triple diamond black pearl? What are you willing to do? Let me just let other people talk for a second or two. Do you know Tanya Aliza? Aliza? Do you know her? She's up in Canada. She started in network marketing in 2010. And today, 10 years later, she earns $1 million a year in residual income. And she's at the top of her company. And in addition to being at the top, she takes some of her time to teach us what to do in terms of training, guiding, directing, so that we can become better, especially using e-commerce, social media. But at first, in the first couple of years, she couldn't do that. She stumbled and fumbled. Then she ran into a guy who taught her, and she happened to be married to him now. And we will talk about that too. And that's another piece that is key to building a big organization. But here's what she says. Tanya, talk to us.
Go into showing your presentation and then asking for the sale. The thing is that we have to remember to ask for the sale. I remember so many times I would do a presentation when I was new and I didn't know how to do this, and we would look at it together, and then there would be all the excitement after, and then we were just like crickets, like now what? And I didn't really know how to transition very well. So now that I know how to transition very well, my closing percentages are really great, and obviously we do very well in our business. So here's what I want you to remember. Make a list of, you know, a couple people that you know, your closest people. Your closest people should definitely be doing this business with you, or at least supporting you on your business venture, because they're your closest people, right? And they know you already. They trust you. At least they should trust you a little bit, or at least they should support you, okay? So make sure that you go to these people and just have them understand what you're doing. Your goal is not to get them to sign up. Your goal is to get them just to understand what you're doing and then make a decision for themselves, okay? So if you go into it with that, then that's basically all you need to remember, right? So what I do is I make sure I go into the meeting with confidence. All the time I'm going into the meeting with confidence. I'm not asking their approval. I am telling them with confidence what I'm about to do, and I'm going to go big. Whether or not they join me, I would love them if they did. But if they see a fit, great. If they don't see a fit, that's okay. That's okay too. We're still going to be friends. I exude that energy as step number one when I'm talking to my people. Okay, so whatever your process is, make sure you have that energy. Now, after the presentation is done, I say this. I say, great, give me some feedback. Tell me what you liked best about what you saw. Okay, I don't ask them if they liked it. I tell them, tell me what you liked about it, right? They're going to tell me what they like about it, and I'm going to feed off of that. I'm going to say, awesome, I loved all those same things too. Now, based on all those things you liked about it, do you see an opportunity for yourself? That's how I ask for the sale. I just say, hey, do you see an opportunity for yourself? If they say yes, I say, okay, great. Is that with being a member and a rep, or just being a member and a customer of mine? Okay, and then they'll tell you where they want to go. I'm not really telling them where to go. They're telling me where they're wanting to go based on me asking them the right questions. And these work, guys, I promise you. Okay, and then they'll tell you, well, I want to go here. Or they'll ask some questions, and then you'll answer their questions, and then you'll say, great, welcome to the team. Welcome as my customer, whatever it is. And that's it. My goal when I show my business and when I show my products, my goal is not to sign someone up. My goal is to have them understand the benefits and the features and the opportunity, and then to have them make an educated decision with my help, with maybe answering some questions and seeing whether or not it's even possible to have me help them get to where they want to go. Okay, so is anything in that salesy? Right? No, it's getting them to understand what I'm doing, asking them, do you see an opportunity for yourself, and guiding it from there. So I hope this helps you. And if it does, I have a free gift that I want to give you, actually. It is called My Home Business Survival Guide, and it is 7 skills you absolutely need to know as a professional in our industry to grow a big team globally fast and to recruit effortlessly. And guys, what I teach in this guide actually works. We were actually named the top 5 in our entire company as far as enrollers go in the entire world, all right, in our company, which is pretty cool. So I encourage you to grab that free 11-page guide, go through it, make sure you have all those skills in place, and there's some tips and strategies I share in there, and you can pick it up at TanyaEliza.com. I'll leave a link below here for you to go grab that right now. It's absolutely yours, free, and I'm looking forward to hearing your success and results. If you like this video, comment and share below. Share it with somebody who might need the help transitioning into a sale and might not want to look salesy either. Have an awesome day. We'll see you on the next video.
All right, Tanya, thanks a lot. She's too much. She's the real deal. And she makes a 7-figure income yearly now. She found a way to how to do that. So what do you think?
I think that's fantastic. I think it's fantastic. Yes. And I agree to, let everyone know, all the friends and family and social media friends know what I'm doing. So that a year from now, they won't say, well, why you didn't tell me about it? I'm just letting you know right now what I'm doing so that you know what I'm doing. So I understand the approach that she's using makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
It does. It's an easy, comfortable approach. I met so many people who say, I want financial freedom. I want time freedom. I don't like my job. I don't like the boss. I don't even want to do a commute. But I don't want to sell anything. And by the way, I don't know anyone to talk to. I don't want to talk to strangers to ask them to buy from me. I don't want to do what other people do in Mary Kay, Yvonne, Amway. I don't want to do that. But I really could use the $10,000-$15,000 a month in residual income. But I don't want to do what they have done to get there. So what would you tell them? What would you say?
Well, that's you got to be hungry, and you got to figure out a way that's going to work for you, unless you're going to buy a franchise, $1 million franchise, a $500,000 franchise, or work for someone else and trade in dollars for hours. There's really nothing the average person can do to make an opportunity for themselves that's going to get them financially independent. So if they're not willing to talk to people with a script, that, if they're not willing, then it's not going to happen to them.
Well, the lottery, then they can go broke in 5 years. 1% of the people on this planet, especially America, make $380,000 a year or more. Now, some network marketers have, they do $300,000 a year, $1 million a year, $1 million a month. So it's really to get out of your comfort level. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute and ask you a couple questions. But here's Tanya once more.
26 minutes a day to spare. Now, I've built a seven-figure online business, been marketing my business online since 2010, so my processes and my systems really work. But the biggest thing that I have learned how to do in my business is to have a lot of automation and leverage. I mean, that's why we started our home business in the first place, right? We want to have automation, we want to have leverage, we want to be able to go to the beach, and we still want to have our businesses able to be run on autopilot in the background, right? So with these systems and processes that I put in place, it actually allows you to be able to do that in your business. And right after you go through this training that I have that I'm going to be hosting, and if you join me, right after you can start implementing these six steps and start seeing those kinds of results in your business. I typically enroll about 2 to 5 new teammates and customers into my network marketing business each and every week on clockwork. I get text messages all the time that say, hey, Tanya, I'm ready to go. I'm interested in your products and services, and I want to show you what I'm doing so you can copy some of those strategies and put them into your business and have some of the same results, if not better. So I hope you can join me this coming up week on my training sessions. I've got 2 going on that you can register for, so pick one that fits your schedule best. I'm going to show you my 6 steps. And if you implement these 6 steps, you'll have a lot of great results on Facebook. And you can also apply these 6 steps to not only Facebook, but the other social media platforms that are out there as well. I love Facebook because that's where everybody is. So I'm going to be showing you what I've been doing on Facebook to get people to say yes and reach out to me when it comes to my products and services without sitting there in front of your computer all day long, instant messaging people who aren't interested in your business. I'm going to show you how to get in front of the people who are already looking for your products or services and what they provide and the benefits that they provide. Pretty cool, right? So get registered on this page. Your free resource and download is on its way to your email inbox now, and I'll look forward to seeing you on the free upcoming training that I have going on. Get registered on this page, and I will see you there.
Okay, let me do something. I want you to pass this information on to other people, if you don't mind. Okay? Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, first name. Last name, A-L-I-Z-A, Z as in zebra, A. So you can pass it on.com. And she's all over YouTube, all over Facebook. So she's a person who started 10 years ago. 2 years she stumbled. And then she found this guy who taught her how to market e-commerce. And now she, as she indicated to you a few minutes ago, she earns 7 figures a year in residual income. Not bad, huh? Does that make sense?
Fantastic. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So it's done by these people. When they get desperate or serious enough, they make it happen. My story, here's my story, quick, just a quick deal. And I guess you heard it before. Now, I've been in network marketing. I was teaching at Howard University from about 74 until 80. And I joined Amway in 78 at Howard when I was a professor of communications. And even though I was full-time professor there, I was doing part-time work on WHUR on the weekends, 6 to 10 on Friday night and Saturday night as a disc jockey. Then I was doing volunteer work at Pacifica Radio, WPFW, in Washington, D.C., and eventually became assistant, you know, acting general manager there. Then I was doing some other work with National Public Radio. They hired me as director of special interest program. And basically, all that means is how to get the programming of other people, you know, the Hispanics, Blacks, Native American, how to get those programs involved in being on National Public Radio. How do you, for a better word, how do you make that happen? How do you synergistically put it right into the mix of traditional radio? But anyway, I did join Amway, but it was many years, and went to meetings and all that, but it was many years before someone gave me the formula, 2-a-day, 1 a week. And I really, and I would go out and talk to a person maybe today, skip to next day, the following day, and talk to them 3 or 4 times toward the weekend. But I didn't have a real formula until 1994, a guy came along and said, Russell, Dave Savola, he's gone now, became the number one earner in prepaid legal. It's called Legal Shield now. And he was making $1 million a year before he left. But when I met him, he was making $33,000 a month after 18 months. And I said, what do you do? How do you do this? He said, Russell, I talk to two persons every day, and I do a meeting a week where I bring all those people back for a second, third, or fourth look. Because some people say, I don't understand what you said, you know. And the way he introduced the program to them, he would say, hey, John, call him. Hey, John. Hey, this is Dave Savola. How you doing? Okay. Hey, listen. Are you interested in making some extra money? I said, yeah, I could use another stream of income. Well, I found something that it will absolutely blow your mind. Now, all I need is 15 minutes. 15 minutes, that's it, to show you what I've found. Now, you may or may not be interested in doing what I'm doing, but I'd like to show you exactly what I'm doing that's going to get me to make $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month in residual income. When can we meet? That was his pitch to get an appointment with those guys. And what he did, his other people, other real serious part of what he did, he just didn't talk to anybody. He would find the people in his community who had been producers in business and really in network marketing who had reached, made $5,000 a month or $10,000 a month, and he would pitch that question to those kind of people. So when he brought them on his team, they said yes. They already had the experience of building a network marketing organization and having made $1,000 a week, $2,000 a week, or $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 a month. He would talk to those kind of persons. So in 18 months, he had found enough of those persons to put on his team to make that kind of money. It's like, look, I'll give you a for instance. It's like a person who wants to invest in an NFL or a basketball team or a baseball team, and you're putting millions and millions of dollars down. Who would you go and recruit? Would you just go down the street and try to recruit anybody? Would you go to a high school and try to recruit? Would you go to a college and try to recruit? Or would you go to the farm teams of major franchises and try to recruit those guys who have a lot of experience? That's what he did in terms of building his organization. In 18 months, he brought those kind of persons and put them on his team. Now, a company, when it starts, be it Rain International, Amway, Shackley, Herbalife, will do the same. They just don't talk to their cousin, their aunt, their next door neighbor to bring them on the team to launch the company, right? They go get people who have been producers in network marketing and say, I'm starting Rain International. I would like for you to come and look at what I'm starting. That's what Brian Belka did, right? So he went and got Susie Kwok. Have you heard of Susie Kwok? You know,
of
Susie?
Of course.
Okay, fine. So back in 11/11/11, he ran into Susie Kwok, and he says, I want you to see what I'm doing. And so 3 years later, she's making, $1 million a year. But the background of Susie Kwok, I worked with Susie Kwok because I was Triple Diamond Black Pearl with a company called Morinda back in 96. And it took me a year to get to $15,000 a month, took me another year to get to $30,000 a month. And then by the third year, I was making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a month. But Susie Kwok was making $100,000 a month with that company. You understand where I'm coming from? She had the experience because she had made, before she left Morinda, a good $20-25 million, easy, because I think I made about $4 million. But she was way ahead of me. But anyway, so we reached the pinnacle, the point of what I'm saying. We had the experience of having been in the trenches and having built a team, and that's what she did when she came to Rain International in 11/11/11. She got on the team, and she went right to the top because she went to her people who had been producers in another company. Does that make sense to you? Yes or no?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So I'm just trying to give you the formula of how people get to those big numbers quickly and in a hurry, quick, fast, and in a hurry. They know people who have been producers previously, and they go get those persons and put them on their team. And sometimes you have to make a deal. You have to, whatever. And same thing with Horton Bugs. But look, I don't want to do all the talking. I want other people to do talking for me, but I just wanted you to see I want you to see that, that
right.
piece, because that piece sometimes isn't talked about. The other piece I want to talk about is when I sometimes you need help in building your team, and I'll be right back with that. Now, let me do this. Let me talk about Tanya one more. She says this piece about how can I help you, because there's a phrase that says help somebody and help yourself. Find persons who really want to develop a retirement income, financial independence, and help them to build their team.
They're like, yeah, but I really, really want it, but I'm not willing to go out and do it. Now, and so anyways, she ended up, you know, following up with me. She sent me a text message and said, hey, Tanya, I'm trying everything that I'm doing. I'm actually setting up a website, and, like, I hope people are going to come to me.
Oh.
And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you're waiting for people to come to you. You're not going out there and you're not making it happen. And I was telling Caesar, I was like, you know what? Yes, we're successful now and that's what people see. But people don't see what we did to get to where we are. And they just think we're lucky. We are not lucky. We deserve it. We freaking hustle. Like, I told Caesar, I said, back in the day when I was really grinding, guys, when I mean grinding, I'm not talking about two presentations a day or two phone calls a day. I'm talking about grinding. I would be on the phone at minimum for 2 hours a day, nonstop, talking to people, showing my business, getting them on a presentation. 2 hours a day, nonstop. There was like no break. I'd maybe break for like water or something, and I'd be like, okay, now we've got to pick up the phone and keep dialing. And that was my hustle, 2 hours a day for months and months and months until what? Until I got the result that I was looking for. Now, is that somebody that deserves it? Absolutely. And you get way more respect when you work that hard and you put the hustle in to make it happen. And so if you have money troubles or you're dealing with anybody that has money troubles right now, you got to ask yourself first, if it's you, do you really, really want it? And are you just being a baby? I know people that are out there that are branding themselves online and they're doing the whole attraction marketing thing, which is really great and you still should do it. But you want to know what? They're waiting for people to sign up with them. They're not going out and actively talking to people. They're not picking up the phone. They're like, I'm just going to make myself famous online and do a bunch of photos and cool branding, but I'm just going to like put myself out there, and if people jump in the boat, then that's great. I'm not going to go actually out there and hustle and pick up the phone to make it happen. If you have a brand online, and you guys, you know me, I'm big on the whole branding thing online and attraction marketing, but if you have a brand online, there are people jumping in your boat that are desperately asking for help, and you are too, I don't even know, what are they, Caesar?
Chicken shit
to reach out back to them and actually help them, right? If people jumped into your boat and said like, hey, however they've connected, they've liked your page, they've commented on something, why don't you reach out to them? They're on your list if you're building a marketing list. Why don't you pick up the phone, do what I did, and pick up the phone and say, hey, how can I help you?
HowCanIHelpYou.com. That should be a website. That should be a domain name. I think I'm see if it's available. I'm going to GoDaddy see if that's available. How can I help? Well, how can I help you?
Right.
Either one. That's a good one. So we got to help. Again, it says help somebody, help yourself. That Zig Ziglar talks about that. And even if you go to the Bible, it says give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down and running over, for with the same measure you give, it will be given unto you. That's Luke 6:38. Cast thy bread on the waters, for after many days you will find it again. And that's 11:11. So I'm saying you've got to be able to help your people, and you've got to be able to reach out, especially if they're producers. You want to help them. You want to help them get deals fast. That's what I talked about last week. I said, if you become a manager, and are you a manager yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The trick is to stay manager every week. Now, you can go become a senior manager or bronze or gold, whatever. But at least qualify as a manager each week. We talked about that, right? Did you understand that last week?
Yes.
And then put
yes,
one on your right. Okay, one on your right, one on your left, and help them to become manager each week. So if you run that down about 100 levels deep, you can't even count that volume. Even at manager, if your title is manager, I mean, obviously, you're going to push you up. Like I've been pushed up in many companies. And that would push you up because all that volume, because the company pays on volume, it doesn't pay on levels. So with all that volume, you will qualify for bronze and silver and gold and platinum and even diamond, right? It automatically will qualify you. So that's about it. Look, but the thing I wanted to say that you got to be serious enough. If you're serious enough, like Horton Bugs and Gloria Mayfield Banks, who makes a serious piece of money with Mary Kay. I think she's going up to about $10 million a year now with Mary Kay. But you got to be serious enough, dedicated enough to force yourself to go share it with as many persons as possible. Now, here's another example. We talked about network marketing. Any questions about that? Because I'm going to give you one more example. Any questions?
No, just the comment that the two a day, you know, when you hear about the penny, a lot of these companies talk about how if you double a penny every day for 30 days, it turns to $5 million. But if you do it every other day, it's only $160. So that's compounding is powerful, too.
Yep.
Just the consistency. It's very powerful.
I'm glad you mentioned that. You're talking about running the marathon. And what did you in order to run the marathon, how many miles did you put in a week? 40, 50?
Yeah, we were doing 7 miles a day. And then long ones on the weekends. Same strategy.
Same strategy. Yeah. And so that's what I did when I was running cross country. I ran 6 miles a day. And I ran 6 minutes a mile. So 36 minutes I did every day, 7 days a week, you know. So when I got into the race, it was nothing for me to run the 10K or something and win. But I had to dedicate and commit myself to running the 6 miles a day, whether I felt like it or not. But so when the guy gave me the formula of two a day, one a week, now here's the difference between me and the guy I mentioned, Dave Cibola. I went to the streets of Baltimore and I did my two a day, you know, my presentation and had my flyers and brochures in my pockets. And I found two unsuspecting people every day for 1 year, 776, it came out to me. My wife at the time, she did another 300. So we covered about 1,000 persons that year, but I think we brought in 33. So it's about 3%. But it didn't make any difference. But I just talked to anybody I saw. I didn't know all the big hitters back in the day. That was years ago, 94. I didn't know all the big hitters that I could call. So I just called anybody or talked to anybody I saw when I went to the mall, Burger King, McDonald's, Starbucks, wherever. I just found two persons to talk to. And even at that low level of accomplishment, so to speak, in terms of quality of people, I still brought in 33 that year. And by the time I got to my 13th month, for the first time in my life, I was making $10,000 a month. And obviously, it went on beyond that in that program, at least $2 million or more. And it still pays me every year. We won't get into that. But here's another concept. Even in a non-traditional business, like let's take Byron Allen. You know Byron Allen?
I heard you play him on your show.
Okay, I'm going to do it again. Byron, and this time I want to play, he says it's nothing to get the money if you were determined to get the money. And when he was broke and determined that he wanted to get Comcast to pay attention to him, to take his programming that he had put in place, that he went to the table of his kitchen table, living wherever he was, and he made calls every day, every day, every day. But here's the story. Listen to this. This is called commitment, dedication. So he's entitled and he's deserving of getting $300 million to start his adventure.
Okay, I talk billion, Alan. because by the way, God wants you to be that too, wants you to be your best. So I'm here to help.
All right.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I started my company from my dining room table in 93. And I did did a television special where I interviewed a bunch of funny friends.
I remember that.
Right? So a weekly one-hour show called Entertainers with Byron Allen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I started, I sat at my dining room table and I called all 1,300 television stations and asked them to carry the show for free. Mm-hmm. And on average, they all told me no about 50 times. And literally, I sat at my dining room table from sunup to sundown, and I got about 50,000 no's. Mm-hmm. And after a year of doing that, I was able to squeeze out about 150 yeses. Mm-hmm. I got a station, a TV station, in every market from New York to Waterloo, Iowa, mm-hmm. right? And so that was my lineup. Now, Tribune had said to me, Byron, if you get 75% of the country, we will sell your commercial time. Because I said to the TV stations, there's 14 minutes of commercial time. I'll keep 7 minutes. You keep 7 minutes. I'll sell my 7 minutes to national advertisers. You, local TV station, you sell your 7 minutes to local advertisers.
Smart.
Right? You sell it to local banks, car dealers, supermarkets. I'll sell my 7 minutes right. to McDonald's and Pepsi and Johnson and General Motors. You sell yours to the local, local. You know, sport.
And they didn't pay for the show. You paid to get everything done.
They didn't pay for the show. I gave them the show for free.
You produced the show, did everything yourself.
I did everything myself. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. Sat there for 1 year and just worked the phones like crazy for 1 year, the hardest thing I've ever done, give away a TV show for free.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now the problem was, after I did that, good old Tribune said, we changed our mind. We're not going to give you an advance of $400,000 so you can go into production and produce this TV show. So I said, okay, I'm not going to sit here for 1 year and tell these TV stations I'm not going to deliver what I told you I would deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have two nickels to rub together. Mm-hmm. And I decided I'm going forward. And I went forward. I didn't know how I was going to get it done, but Martin Luther King, like he said, that's faith, taking that step.
When you don't see the rest of the staircase.
And you know, the rest of the staircase. There it is, right? So I went forward, and it was tough. My home went in and out of foreclosure over 14 times over about a 4 or 5 year period.
Or from bankruptcy to billionaire.
From bankruptcy to billionaire. That's exactly right. There was there were days I didn't eat. There were days they turned my phone off, and this is before mobile phones. I was calling people from a pay phone, and I got to know the lady really well at the bank, and I'll never forget her. She says, your file keeps coming on my desk. Mm-hmm. She says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm not paying my mortgage because I'm paying the cameraman, and I'm paying the sound person, and I'm paying to get tape, and I'm paying to have my show edited, and I'm paying to put it on the satellite, and I'm just trying to put a show in production. I don't have the money to do it. And she says, listen up, honey. She says, Don't let it go past day 89, because day 89, day 90, it goes to the lady next to me, Agnes, and you don't want your file to go to her desk.
Right.
That's just a mean name.
Agnes is not as nice as me.
Yeah, white women named Agnes don't play no game.
So I said, day 89, and that was it. And I showed up every day on the 89th day, and I paid my mortgage, but I was floating. And finally, I turned the corner and I signed up all the movie studios to buy advertising. Before that, I was selling 1-800 spray on hair. And after I got the movie studios.
Okay, Envy.
Yeah, it is.
He just got his.
That's real.
He just got his.
Oh, you just got his. That's spray on there.
It's not spray on. It's plug-in.
It's plug-in?
Yeah,
it's
plug-in.
No, damn plug-in. Okay.
It
looks good, man. It looks good. I mean, that's
thank
one.
You,
of, thank you. I probably got $20 for that can.
Thanks,
so
then,
this is real.
Oh, is that real?
Thanks,
okay.
Byron. Oh, you still got the spray on.
Oh, we sell it to everybody, right?
Yeah.
So we kept selling, and I went. I got movie studios, and I said, I'm going to go to soft drinks. I got soft drinks, and I went to fast foods, and I went to packaged goods. And I went to pharmaceuticals, and I went to automotive, and I went industry by industry by industry, and I went to board of directors, and I went to CEOs and chief
and
marketers.
This was you. This was
this
not
me.
An assistant. This was this not
me.
A friend. This
I'm on the phone.
Pitching yourself.
Me, I'm going day and night. I'm on the plane every night. I'm six meetings a day, whatever it is. And finally, I put another show on. I'm saying, you know, I know all these television stations. I know all these advertisers. I put another show on, another show. Next thing you know, I have 43 shows on the air.
What can I say? So, do you think he deserves success, Adrian?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Broke, barely could eat, but he didn't stop. I mean, he just paid his dues, right? Look. There's another guy. Have you heard of Grant Cardone? Do you know him?
My favorite.
Good. Do you know between the ages of 15 At 25, he was taking drugs every day without fail. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, every day for 10 years. Always on drugs. Never off of drugs. Overdosed 3 or 4 or 5 times. But when he got to 20, even his wife, who we married now, she had been overdosed a couple times, right? But they got together and they said, listen, enough is enough. I want to have a life. I want to do something right. And he decided to get into sales. He said he didn't want to get into sales, but he got into sales. And today he's worth, what, $800 million, maybe $1 billion? Got the book, Sell or Be Sold, Grant Cardone University. Look, let me not talk. Here's the story. Listen to Grant Cardone. He's worth $800 million today at age 61.
And I've had the experience, not a bad experience, but I've had the experience of having life really, really bad. And I tell you that because that experience, when I was 15 years old, 17 years old, 19, 20, 21, 23, it felt like the longest period of my life. And I was using drugs every day. I didn't like who I was. My body was sick. I was physically ill. I was addicted to drugs. My environments, my surroundings were terrible. And I had to change. Now, maybe that's not where you're at today. You don't have those kind of problems. Your problems is not like some drug addiction bottom that you're looking for, which is a shame, by the way, because for most people to change, they got to hit bottom. And I would like to tell you that I have been some super smart guy that changed before I actually needed to, but that has not been the case with me. Over and over, if I look back at my life, I changed way beyond the point of where people would say, dude, it's time that guy changes. I had problems in school. I had problems showing up. I was getting beat up. I was fighting with the other students. Couldn't stay in class. Today, if I was doing that today in the educational system, they would put me on drugs. They'd have me with a psychiatric counselor. I'd probably get thrown out of the classrooms. I was destroying hallways and the exterior schools, throwing graffiti on properties, damaging property in the afternoons. Man, I was lost. That was at 15 or 16 years old. That would go on 17, 18. Grades got worse, by the way. Everything got worse. Nothing got better. Everything got worse. And that's really the message today. Look, change is happening to you and me every day. Things don't stay the same. They're either going to get worse or they're going to get better. Nothing stays the same. It is impossible going into this new year, this new decade, a new business, a new relationship. You move to a new city, get new friends, join a country club, get a new car. That car is going to get worse, probably worse, or it's going to get better. You can go buy all the watches you want. You can buy the big gorilla, put him in your studio. You can get a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend. You can move to a new city. You can get a new job. Your life's either going to get better or it's going to get worse. I wish somebody had told me this when I was 15 years old. It's up to you, man. Better or worse. Won't stay the same. Now, again, I'd like to tell you that I changed before I had to, but I didn't. I would be 25 years old. I had overdosed on drugs 4 times. Literally, like I was probably 15 minutes, 20 minutes from maybe death when somebody interrupted me. Some godsend, some person that walked into my life and said, get up, dude, get up, get up, and woke me up. My mom did it once. My brother woke me up another time, got me out of it. Once I was in my apartment by myself, and it was terrible. I'm telling you that not to share with you some awful drug story or history, but Why wouldn't I change? 20 years old, 21 years old. I could look in the mirror. I knew I had problems. I had no money, couldn't keep a job, fired from 7 jobs in a row, caught with drugs on me at one of my jobs, wrecking cars, working in a car dealership, wrecking cars every other week. I hadn't had a car wreck in, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. I was wrecking. I couldn't go 14 days without wrecking a car. And this isn't funny, by the way. There's nothing funny about it. I know some of you could be watching this right now kind of chuckling. Nothing about this was funny to me. And I was oblivious. I was oblivious to the surroundings. Now, every once in a while, I would get a little peek in the mirror at myself and think, and this was almost on a daily basis, I'd get this little peek, this little reminder, like some angel was pinging me. Man, you can do better. Ping. You're not supposed to be a drug addict. Ping. Look at me. You don't have any color in your face. Ping. Look at your friends. Ping. What are you doing up, staying up 48 hours? I mean, eating pudding pops. That was my food of choice, was like pudding pops and Kraft macaroni and cheese. I opened my refrigerator. There was nothing in it. I couldn't pay my rent. $275 a month, and I couldn't pay my rent. I was so disgusted with myself. No self-esteem, spiritually bankrupt, physically bankrupt, and I didn't change. No money, no awards, don't have good grades, can't keep a job. I have nothing to hang my hat on. I don't have a fancy studio. I don't have artwork. I don't have a fancy watch. I don't have two pairs of shoes. I'm not living in the condo. You guys got to understand that where I'm at today is so different than where I was and where I started from.
Now, that's your band, right? That's you. Have you read Sell or Be Sold, the book?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, I have the audio and I have the book itself. So you see what he's gone through, right?
Right.
So is he entitled to being... to become a billionaire? He's worth about $800 million now. I think it's a billion now pretty soon here. What do you think?
Every
penny. So people go through trials and tribulations to make it. Look, have you seen the motion picture, The Founder, by the story of Ray Kroc, how he discovered McDonald's and how he got that off the ground? Have you seen that?
Actually, I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
But you need to watch it. Go to Netflix and watch it. Come on. You need to watch it.
Okay.
And then you need to listen to everything he says, his skills, his techniques, his strategies of how he did that, right? You need to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Self-Made, Madam C.J. Walker? Have you seen that? No,
I don't really watch movies. Okay,
but that's not movies. That's look, when you go to Harvard or Yale or Princeton or MIT, guess what they give you? Case studies. That's a case study.
Right.
You're watching a case study. If you want to look at how Mark Zuckerberg became a creator of Facebook, all you do is watch the motion pictures, Social Network. It's right there. Or if you want to take, watch this. Listen to me. I'm trying to give you something that you need to know. If you want to know how Steve Jobs became a genius with the iPhone, go watch the motion picture of Steve Jobs. All of it's right there. Would you believe that? You don't have to read a book. You just watch it. And then, since I'm a communications person, I got my PhD in communications, you know. I'm taught at Howard University. I taught at Morgan. But you got to understand, I've been on a lot of radio and television stations. Oprah and I used to work together. She was on television when I was on television back in 1972. She was making, $25,000 a year? I was making $15,000 a year back in the day, right? She's a billionaire. She's worth $3 billion, right? Then James Brown hired me to be news director of his radio station, WEBB in Baltimore. I worked there for 3 years as news director. Then I went over to D.C. after I got my Ph.D., and I taught at Howard University as a professor of communication. Then I worked at WHUR nighttime, right? So that's and during the 60s and the 70s, if you don't know what happened, have you heard the name Kathy Liggins, Kathy Hughes? You don't know her.
No.
No, okay. Fine. Kathy Hughes was a secretary at Howard University when I got there in 1974. Guess what she's doing today? You're right. She's worth about another $1 billion, somewhere about $800 million. She has Radio One. She owns 78 radio stations across the country. And if you want to see how her husband, Hughes, or I can't think of his first name, anyway, whatever his name is, he's in the motion picture Talk to Me, Netflix, Petey Green and all that stuff is right there, how he got started in radio back then. And then she married him in 1980. They bought the first radio station. Now she has 78 radio stations across the country. Come on.
Wow.
It's all in motion pictures. It's all there for us to study. And in our community, the average person of color watches 11 hours a day of television.
Mm.
Right, a day.
That's a lot.
Well, of course, a lot. But if you're watching documentaries, if you're watching a story about how people succeeded and accomplished and got and overcame the obstacles, then you're watching good stuff, right? So, anyway, do you have any questions? I just wanted to run it this long enough so that you can give this to somebody else who say that I really want to make a lot of money. I really don't have any money to invest. I can come into network marketing, spend $100 or $200 or less, and get started, and I can make millions and millions and millions of dollars. When I joined Rain International 7 years ago, how much did I join for? Do you have any idea? Would you give me a number?
What, $500?
No, how about $113? I bought one case. And I bought the technology fee. It came to $113. And so far,
I've made
over $500,000 so far. Is that a good return on investment?
That's fantastic.
Okay. But I did upgrade, and I do buy a lot of product now. But I just came in and I just stuck my toe in the water. So I'm saying that people – and let me do one more before I close. But I just wanted to make it clear. I didn't want to drag it on and on and on. But I wanted you to understand what it takes to become successful, no matter what you do in life. I'm looking at Mark Yarnell. You may not know him. He's written a book, Your First Year in Network Marketing, right? That's sold, mm-hmm. three or four million copies. You can get it off of Amazon. It's a good book to get started with. But when he came into network marketing in 1986, guess what? He had five jobs, five. One, two, three, four, five. He was an alcoholic, bankrupt, foreclosure, car being repossessed, and he was a pretend minister of a little church at about 10 people, right? But he stayed drunk all the time. But he got into New Skin in 1986, and by the time 2002, 2003 rolled around, he had made $35 million as a distributor, here's what he said.
The whole thing that distracts people, in my opinion, and causes them to stop before they succeed in our industry. Notice I didn't say fail. You can't fail in network marketing if you pick a good company. You can only stop. You can quit. And one of the things that leads to this is people stop focusing on taking care of their own family. They get distracted by what I call impression management. It becomes more important what other people think of them than their own family security and their ability to rise to their full potential financially and economically. Even Marcus Aurelius, the great golden emperor back at the turn of the last millennium, understood distractions are a waste of time, but the worst distraction is making your decisions based on how other people think of you. It's nonsense. Don't let that slow you down. Either people want to get into network marketing or they don't. But don't worry about what they think of you. Don't be distracted by impression management. What's important is you and your family and getting into the upper 1% with great core values so you can make this planet a better place.
Now, I want you to pass this on to other people to talk about these
Absolutely.
Stories and these people. I mean, is that inspirational or not?
Oh, very, very inspirational.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Thank
you.
Was it Richard Branson? Is he worth any money? Mm-hmm. Is he Is he successful? Branson. Right?
Yeah, he's the super entrepreneur, yes.
Okay, fine. Do you know he started in network marketing? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Listen to what he said.
I didn't know
and
that.
We were involved with network marketing once with a cosmetics company in the UK, and we would have, you know, a dinner every year with all these young entrepreneurs from all over the country, and they were, you know, sometimes they were a mum, you know, with children who wanted to make some money on the side, you know, and sometimes they were relying on it completely, you know, for their living. And it was tremendous seeing the enthusiasm, how much it transformed their lives, and what a difference it made to them. So I'm a tremendous believer in network marketing, and I'm a great believer in entrepreneurs. I think all the future jobs in the next 20 or 30 years will be created by network marketing entrepreneurs and other entrepreneurs around the world, starting off from scratch or starting off very small and making a real difference in the world.
And he started network marketing. Would you believe that? Now he's a multi-billionaire.
Wow.
And let's look at Jim Rohn. I mean, people love Jim Rohn. When he came into network marketing at 25, he was broke. He couldn't even balance his checkbook. But in the next 6 years, he became a millionaire because he kept his job, and the money he made on the side in network marketing, he kept it, invested, and had it work for him, and became a millionaire by the time he was 30. Jim
Rohn. Philosophy that helped change my life. It's not what happens that determines your life future. It's not what happens that determines your life future. It's what you do about what happens. All of us are in like a little sailboat. And it's not the blowing of the wind that determines your destination. It's the set of the sail. So jot this phrase down. It's one of the best to understand. Kids need to understand it. The same wind blows on us all. The wind of disaster, the wind of opportunity, the wind of change. The wind when it's upside down, the wind when it's favorable and unfavorable. The same wind blows on us all. The economic wind, the social wind, the political wind. The same wind blows on everybody. The difference in where you arrive in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, the difference in arrival is not the blowing of the wind, but the set of the sail. And that's what learning is all about, to set a better sail this year than last year. To set a better sail. The first 6 years of my economic life, I wound up broke. Second 6 years, I wound up rich.
Huh, not too bad in 6 years to become a millionaire. Listen, Adrian, you can become a millionaire in this industry. But all you have to do is decide. It's a decision. Like, for instance, I'm looking at closing. I'm going to close now because I don't want to go. I could do this all day long, but I don't want to bore people. But a guy named Darren Kidd came into network marketing, and he couldn't make two ends meet. He couldn't make any money. $5,000 a month? No, he couldn't make it. He was in the NFL, no friends left club, but he didn't quit. He stayed. And guess what he says today?
Hey, everybody. Darren Kidd here. Thanks for stopping by my channel. On this channel, we give you weekly content to help you succeed now in your network marketing business. I've been in this industry for over 25 years, multiple seven-figure earner, and I've been blessed to have a lot of success in the industry, but it wasn't always like that. Matter of fact, for 7 years, I struggled. I got to the point I said I'll never do it again. I was actually a member of the NFL, the No Friends Left Club. I ended up bankrupt, government assistance, car repossessed, living in a small town, felt like a failure in life when I couldn't even support my family.
Huh, how about that?
Wow.
A multi-million dollar earner today. Look, I close with this. There's a guy named Frank Lucas. Have you seen The American Gangster?
No.
Okay. At some point when you are bored, I want you to go watch The American. Denzel Washington plays the part of Frank Lucas.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think I did see that. I just forgot the name of it. The black guy that rolls through the ranks.
Oh, absolutely. But when they caught him in this 1971, when they caught him and put him in jail, Do you know how much money he had?
No, how much?
He had $250 million in cash. Cash.
Whoa.
Cash. Cash.
Wow.
Because he decided to be an entrepreneur. And guess what? When he got out of prison, He died at 89 years old, which is about a year ago. But this is what he says about all that $250 million coal cash.
When he was interviewed years later, he stated, "I wanted to be rich. I wanted to be Donald Trump rich, and so help me God, I made it." But he wasn't all about the business and loved spending his time with the celebrities. He was a regular in some of the hottest nightclubs in New York back in the day and would dress up in his mink coats because they were a status symbol for him. He would often party with James Brown, Diana Ross, and Muhammad Ali. Lucas was married to Juliana Ferrer, who was a beauty queen from Puerto Rico. The two of them adored each other and did not shy away from buying insanely expensive presents. For instance, Juliana knew how much Lucas loved his coats, so she found him a chinchilla coat and a hat made from the same material. She paid somewhere around $60,000, which was basically change for Lucas back in the day. On the other hand, Lucas would buy jewelry for Juliana, and he once spent $140,000 for Van Cleef bracelets. But he wasn't flying under the radar anymore, and the law enforcement was aware that something illegal was happening in his world. It was improbable that he was earning that amount of money for the work he was apparently doing. So they started digging deeper and uncovering various informations that would eventually lead to the collapse of Frank Lucas's empire.
Yeah. But when he died, a year, 8 months ago, not too long ago, he said he made a mistake. He messed up. He destroyed a lot of lives. And if he had to do it again, he wouldn't have done that again. He would have taken that energy, his talent, his potential, his ability to think possibility thinker. He would take his promise, his possibilities, and he would have done it a different way. You know, so what can I say? Any questions as we close? I just wanted you to get an idea that you may want to send people here to listen to this. I've been around the industry 42 years, written 2 books. I stumbled and fumbled. First 15 years, I don't think I made $10,000 a year. But after Dave Savola gave me the formula, you know, I'm a multiple seven-figure income earner at this time. So I'm grateful that I stayed long enough to make a couple bucks and to share my wisdom, the little bit I have, with other people who come along. Any questions?
Yeah, I like how Les Brown says you got to be hungry. It's the hunger is what makes people stick and stay, because it makes them stay beyond what other people, you know, say, think, or do, because they're not doing it for the other people. They're just hungry inside. And I think that the hunger is really what determines whether people succeed in any industry, whether it's network marketing or any other industry. So I really appreciate you sharing all those different people to demonstrate that it can be done. They're doing it, so we can do it. And I get it.
Well, if you see one of the things I'm going to tell you, the little bit I learned in the 42 years I've been doing this, is that I've talked to a lot of people, get all the no's and all the promises, all the people who want to rip you off and all that, whatever. And it's good. It's okay. But when you have a vision, you know, Calvin, and persistence and determination, I like to do what Calvin Coolidge said. He says, nothing can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than the unsuccessful man with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education alone will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The problems of our society will always be answered by those individuals who are persistent and dedicated to change things for the better. So Steve Jobs said it this way. He said, life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact that everything around you called life, you know, the planes, the rockets, the street lights, the shoe lasting, the shoe refinery, the Bentleys, whatever, they were created by people no smarter than you. Once you decide that you can do things and be creative and dynamic, then you will never be the same again. Once you learn that, you will never be the same again. So that's the message I would like to leave today at closing. But I thank you for listening, and I appreciate you. Any closing comments as we leave that I want you to take this broadcast and send it to somebody else? Go right ahead.
Yes, would you mention how people can listen to this again on
Yeah, you know, all they have to do, yeah, go to the voice of blackwallstreet.com and pull up that. When you pull up that, you see all the shows that I have listed. The voice of blackwallstreet.com, or they can go to the publicbroadcast.network, either one, and pull it up and play it again. It's going to be archived.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Don't forget to vote. And take care, and I'll talk to you next time.
They remind me in the words of Scripture that ours is a future filled with hope. And if you share that faith with me, if you share that hope with me, I ask you tonight for your vote. If you reject the notion that this nation's promise is reserved for the few, your voice must be heard in this election. If you reject the notion that our government is forever beholden to the highest bidder, you need to stand up in this election. If you believe that new plants and factories can dot our landscape, that new energy can power our future, that new schools can provide ladders of opportunity to this nation of dreamers, if you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, then I need you to vote this November. America, I never said this journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now. Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place. Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together. We don't turn back. We leave no one behind. We pull each other up. We draw strength from our victories, and we learn from our mistakes. But we keep our eyes fixed on that distant horizon, knowing that Providence is with us and that we are surely blessed to be citizens of the greatest nation on earth. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless these United States.
Okay, well, this is going to be archived. Thank you very much for listening. Have a good Sunday. And how they say that? Make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain. Take care. Thanks for listening. Bye now.